First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for coming this evening to the program. It's very encouraging to see so many devotees here in the Zagreb temple. It looks like an increase from when I was here last year. So I'd like to ask the first question tonight. Generally the audience asks the questions, but I'll break the protocol and I'll ask the first question. How many of you have come into contact with Krishna consciousness during the last year? Raise your hands. Oh, Krishna. How many of you came in contact with Krishna consciousness in the last 2 years? And the last 3 years? Okay. How many of you are chanting on japa beads every day? How many of you are studying Prabhupada's books? How many of you are doing some service, any type of service for Krishna? And how many of you are happy in Krishna consciousness? Thank you. I think next time I come, you'll probably have to have a bigger temple because every year it's growing. This is Krishna consciousness. It's always Ananda Bhuri Bharavanam. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is blissful because it's always expanding. Material life is something disappointing because there's always a beginning and there's an end. No matter how nice it is, how much you're enjoying, it always comes to an end. You can expect that. Therefore, Prabhupada said we should not place our faith in material existence. He said faith means to put your trust into something sublime. So sublime is amrita. Amrita means that pleasure which has no beginning and no end. It's actually eternal. So Krishna consciousness is very wonderful because the happiness of devotional service is always expanding. That is the principle. So we see this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal movement, so therefore it's always expanding and no one can stop it. There are some persons who are a little jealous, maybe even envious of this movement, and they think that by passing some legislation or making some plans they can stop. You can't stop Krishna from expanding. There was once a king, King Satyavrata, and he was out patrolling his kingdom, and he was riding past a little pond, and all of a sudden he heard, "Help me! Help me!" How do you say that in Croatian? Huh? Ooh, what's it? Anyway, the fish said in English, "Help me." The king was looking, where's this? Help me. Hey, fish! A fish is talking. Fish said, yes, I talk English. So the king said, well, I am the king, I am Kshatriya. Kat means hurt. Kat means to hurt. And Trayate means to protect. So Kshatriya, Kshatriya, means those who protect us from harm. That is the king and the Kshatriyas, the soldiers. They're supposed to protect the innocent people. The babies, the mothers, the Brahmins, the cows, the old people. So he said, I am Kshatriya. I am Kshatriya. I am duty bound by Dharma to protect you. So what can I do? So the fish said, I'm in this pond and there's some big fish here. And they're very hungry. Please, you take me out and save me. So the king said, all right. He took that little fish and he put him in a little cup like this. He said, okay, fish, I'll take you home. And he put him in his house and he thought, that's okay. Next morning he woke up and he saw fish was sticking out of the cup, outside the cup. Oh, fish, you grow very fast. I've never seen a fish grow so fast like that. So he said, all right, anyway. And he brought a big bowl, like this, and he put them in the bowl. And next, then that evening he went to sleep, and in the morning he woke up, fish was bigger than the bowl. Ooh, what kind of fish is this? I've never seen fish like this. Then he took the fish and he put him in a bathtub, okay? In a big bathtub. Fish, that'll be perfect for you rest of your life. He got up in the morning and he went to take his bath, and it was all fish, one big fish in his bathtub. Oh, he picked the fish up. Took him outside and put him in a pond. Whew, fishy, that, you know, this is sufficient for you. Lo and behold, the next day he got up and he looked outside. Fish was as big as his pond. So what kind of fish is this? Shh. I'm almost at the end of this. So then he said, all right, fish, enough. I'll put you in the ocean. So he went, took 20 men, 15 elephants, 20 horses. They put the fish into the ocean. Next day he came down to sea. Fish was gigantic, huge fish. The fish turned around and started swimming away. He looked back and he smiled. And by the mercy of that fish, King Satyavata could understand it was none other than Matsya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dasha avatars, there's 10 principal incarnations of the Lord. So he was Matsya incarnation, the fish incarnation. He was so like this. No one can stop Krishna if he wants to expand. He started as a small fish, Matsya, and he got bigger and bigger and bigger. So similarly, this movement is, in one sense, it's identical with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, one day my name, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and this song, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, will be heard in every town and village. So Krishna is called Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa means whatever he says, it comes true. It's not like, you know, you or me. What we say, maybe come true, maybe not. But when Krishna says something, it comes to pass. Just like a brahmana. When a brahmana says something, that will come to pass. So he always says truth. If a brahmana says a lie, it may also come to be. So brahmana always says the truth because that will always happen. So Krishna, whatever he says, satya sankalpa, that will come to pass. So it's just a question of time before the Sankirtan movement is there in every town and village. And we're very fortunate that we're members of the spiritual movement, the spiritual principle of Lord Chaitanya, so the Sankirtan movement is spreading all over the world. So as we travel to different parts of the world, we always see the same phenomena. Here in Croatia, we see the movement is expanding. We just came from Africa, from South Africa. And there we had, again, we were able to witness the Gaura Shakti, the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to engage so many people in Krishna consciousness. Actually, when Prabhupada first came to America, the boat was just about to arrive at the port, the Jaladut in Boston. And Prabhupada was thinking, he told us, he said, I was thinking that in order for them to become Krishna conscious, they have to give up sinful activity. It's not possible to make spiritual advancement at the same time be attached to sinful activity or sense gratification. One has to stop and take up devotional service. So he said, I will have to tell them that they must give up meat eating, that they have to give up illicit sex, they have to give up intoxication and gambling. And I feel that when I tell them that, they will say, oh, you are old men, why don't you go back to India? Prabhupada said, I was thinking that maybe when I tell them to stop these sinful activities, they will say, old man, you go back to India, we're not interested. This is America. we are enjoying these things. He said, but I had faith in the holy names of Krishna and instruction of my Guru Maharaj, that those things, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and instructions of pure devotees, that will somehow purify them and they will take to this process of Krishna consciousness. So in many ways it is amazing that a spiritual movement can grow in this environment. It's amazing that a spiritual movement can grow in this environment, because this is where people come to forget Krishna. They leave the spiritual world to be independent of Krishna, to forget Krishna. They don't want to be reminded of Krishna. So that a spiritual movement like this continues to expand is against all odds. It's against the odds that this movement is growing. It is only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and Srila Prabhupada. It's their strong desire. Therefore, it is happening. Therefore, we are very fortunate that we are able to witness these miracles. Miracle means something that is contradictory to the laws of material nature. Like when we see a yogi float. It's a miracle. When we see a yogi fly, at least we hear these things are happening. Yogis can walk on water, they can become small. This is mystic power, but it is like miracle, because it contradicts our understandings of this material world. When something contradicts what's supposed to happen here, we call it a miracle. So every day we are seeing miracles, especially Sankirtan devotees. How many of you distribute Prabhupada's books? You have the opportunity? Raise your hands. So you know, when you go on Sankirtan, you see you give the book. It is amazing sometimes how this person took the book. It is a book about God, about giving up meat, illicit sex, gambling, and talking. He's paying good money. His money is like his blood. Giving his money, something dear, is money. Money is the honey. Sweet, but he's giving it for religion, for God. This is a miracle. So that's why Lord Chaitanya's devotees have so much faith, that they see the laws of nature are contradicted daily by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we see big miracles, then we have big faith. We have big faith. Just like we saw recently a big miracle. A big miracle we saw in South Africa. We put on a festival. Like tomorrow we're having a festival, right? Where is that festival? Right, we're expecting how many people? 200, 500, 1,000. Okay. If 1,000 people come, that would be amazing. We just had a festival in South Africa where on invitation, by invitation, guess how many people came to our festival? 45,000. They knew it was a Hare Krishna festival. 45,000 people. They were little people. They were children, actually. It's just an idea we had. Prabhupada said one has to tax the brain how to spread this movement. One has to be innovative. One has to, make Krishna consciousness attractive without compromising our principles or our philosophy. We have to think of interesting and attractive ways to get people to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have to get innovative ways to get people to dance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like in Poland, we have a reggae band. Do they like reggae music? We had a reggae band here one time we brought. Now, they're number 3 in Poland. Out of hundreds of bands that young people listen to, our band, our Hare Krishna Festival band, is number 3. Everyone that comes, they chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So they're chanting holy name. We have to think of innovative ways to get people to take prasadam. We have restaurants, we have food for life, we have prasadam distribution on the streets. Like this, we have to think, use our intelligence. So in South Africa, we thought, how can we have a really big festival? Really, really, Maha Mahotsava. Mahotsava means festival. So Maha Maha Mahotsava, what should we do? So we thought, we'll rent a soccer stadium that seats 50,000 people, and we'll invite all the schools in Durban to come and have a Hare Krishna picnic. So we sent out invitations to all the schools, and we thought, we'll invite all the children of different ethnic groups, like black children, African, white children, and colored children, and yellow children, Chinese. We called it the Festival of the Rainbow Nation. Rainbow has different colors, so they actually call South Africa the Rainbow Nation. So we invited we invited 400 schools or 500 schools. And there was very good reaction. 5,000 were coming, then 10,000, and 15,000, and 20,000. But then we had an idea, let us invite the president of the country. Ooh, that's pretty big. Invite the president of the country to Hare Krishna Festival. So we wrote, Dear President Mandela, how many of you know Nelson Mandela? Yes. Dear President Mandela, Hare Krishna. We're having a picnic on April 23rd, and we want you to be the special guest. P.S. There's 50,000 children coming. So 3 days later, we got a letter in the mail. Dear Hare Krishna, yes, I will come to your festival. I like children. President Mandela. So this is a miracle. President Mandela is the second most popular person in the world. The first is the Pope. And he's the second most popular man in the world. Very difficult to approach him, like trying to meet Lord Brahma. Dear Lord Brahma, we are having Hare Krishna picnic. So then, when all the people, the teachers and the principals of the schools and the students learned that their president was coming, oh, then, you know, quickly, shoof, we had 45,000 or 50,000 confirmations coming. So what we did is we rented the stadium, we put a huge stage up, like they have sometimes for rock and roll concerts. They have like that in Zagreb. Huge stage, long as this whole room, very high, big speakers. And we had big banners, Hare Krishna, Food for Life, presents Festival for Children of Rainbow Nation. And then we packed 50,000 lunches. Our cooks here sometimes make lunches for Sankirtan devotees. So 10, 15, 20. Can you imagine preparing 50,000 lunch bags? We had one cup at the top with rice and sabji. We had apple. We had potato chips. We had sucker. The children, sucker. And we had one drink. We were cooking on 200 fires. Outside the temple, we dug up the ground, we put wood, big pots, 200 fires were cooking. For 18 hours we cooked. And we had thousands of our congregation packing apples, 45,000 apples. And suckers, we started out with 50,000, but we ended up with about 46,000 because congregation were eating the suckers. Lost a few suckers. And then we told each school that you prepare something nice for your president because he's very popular in that country. So then we chose the best acts, you know, dancing, singing, theater. It wasn't, you know, Krishna conscious, but anyway, we had our school there too. And then when president came, that day, there were 50,000 actually. We had almost 50,000 children in the stadium. And then I went out and met the president, and I shook his hand. I said, Mr. Mandela, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming today to our festival. We hope you enjoy all the transcendental activities. Let us go in. So he had huge garland like this. And there was CNN filming, Reuters, Associated Press, BBC, all these big organizations filming. And I made sure I was right behind the president. Hello, Mom. Hi, Dad. In America, right? Mandela, me. Hare Krishna. So then, as soon as he came in the stadium, tens of thousands of children started coming for the president. Wow. Security had to keep them back, like this. He got on the stage, and then I introduced, ladies and gentlemen, the Hare Krishna movement would like to introduce President Mandela. CNN, shh. BBC, England, shh. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big Hare Krishna applause for President Mandela. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So then when he gave his speech, I stood right behind him, looking over. So all the footage that went on television, it had me and Mandela, and a big shaved head, big tilak, big garland like this. So Mandela, he spoke very nicely about our Hare Krishna movement. He said, we appreciate very much the work that you are doing in our country, and I like the idea, our government supports your idea to have a hunger-free country. So you please help us. So this will be very valuable. These words will be very valuable in getting people to support our movement because he's such an important man. And then the day we had different activities, and the children were eating their prasadam all day long, apples and potato chips and everything. And president was supposed to stay for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, his security told me. He stayed 3 hours and 15 minutes. He liked it so much. And then the king of the Zulus came. Big, fat king. he's the king of 13 million Zulus, you know? Zulu, Zulu, Zulu. He came with his 16 wives. He came up to me, I said, King, his name is King Goodwill. I said, King Goodwill, Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. He said, yes, this is my wife. Oh, Hare Krishna, and this is my wife. Hare Krishna, this is my wife. So we had to have a chair for king and 16 chairs for wives. But there, whenever there was kirtan, they were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then at the end, President Mandela, because I was sitting next to him, he turned to him, he said, this is the happiest day of my life. Then when he was leaving, he waved to the devotees, he said, thank you for a wonderful day. Like this. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that he was yearning, hoping for that day when the high court judge would be wearing tilak, indicating that when influential and important people in society take an interest in Krishna consciousness, then we can know that our movement is making some progress. So how happy he must be, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or Srila Prabhupada, that from their transcendental position they're looking down and seeing not only high court judge, but president of the country, one of the most important people in the world. He is saying to devotees, thank you for a wonderful day. This is actually the happiest day in my life. So then we're making some progress. So this should give you so much faith that this movement can grow to just like Matsya grew from a little minnow to a huge fish in the ocean. We're actually seeing that. You can think, oh, I wish I was there millions of years ago to see this Krishna's pastimes. This is not mythology. This is not some story that some sages have made up. It's true. Krishna is a chintya. He's inconceivable. So we're seeing that even now in our lifetime, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is growing. So it's very encouraging for me to come here and see that the number of devotees has grown, the congregation has grown more and more. That is the Gaura Shakti, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So now we'll have Bhagavad Gita class. Kirtaniya Sanahari, 24 hours in gaze, glorifying Krishna. So this evening we've chosen one verse from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled The Universal Form, and this is text number 46. Omagyan timirandasya ginangina shalakaya chakshuriminitam jenatasmai sigurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasavi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Am Him Shrom Om Farom Tatika Hatika Kesha Gajalat Padakalochana Badraka Nakashparsa Devasimha Namastate Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Dvalantam Sharvatomukam Singham Vishnam Badram Miturmityam Namamyaham. In this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is requesting the Lord to bless him with a vision of his universal form. He wants to see this particular form of Krishna. As Prabhupada says elsewhere, so that in the future, if anyone claims to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must also be able to exhibit this spiritual form, this Virata Rupa. Actually, many people want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they disclaim the existence of God because they cannot see Him. There's a famous saying that seeing is believing. But because people cannot see the transcendental form of Krishna, they don't accept his existence. But as we've discussed many times, there's an inherent flaw in this idea. Because with our limited senses, our material senses, we cannot perceive that which is spiritual. Our material senses are incapable of seeing that which is transcendental. They're imperfect. For instance, my eyes, as Prabhupada sometimes would give the analogy, when I look at the sun, according to the vision of my eyes, that sun is as big as a small circle like this. But in actuality, the sun is very big. It's millions and millions of times greater than the earth. But according to my sense perception, it's very, very small. So my senses are imperfect. My hearing is also imperfect. There's many sounds that I can't hear. I remember when I was a young boy, my father brought one dog home, a puppy. And he said, "This is a nice little doggy, but we have to train him." So I said, "Okay, Daddy, how are we going to train?" He said, "We're going to take this whistle and we're going to blow. One time means sit. Two time means stand. Three times means run." So I took the whistle and I went, couldn't hear anything. I said, "Daddy, this whistle's broken. It's not working. Listen." No sound. He said, "No, but look at the dog." And I was going, "Whoosh," dog's bing. Ears were going, "Whoosh." So that some animals, like this dog, they can hear sounds that as human beings we can't hear. In that sense, our hearing is imperfect. Even our taste sometimes deceives us. Recently in Africa, someone gave me some fruit. I don't know what it was. It was a very bitter little, like amalaki or some kind of fruit. And they said, "If you eat this fruit, then when you eat a lemon, the lemon will taste sweet." I said, "That's what you're talking about." So they gave me, I chewed on this fruit, and then they gave me a lemon. The lemon was just like sugar candy. It was very deceiving. So like that, our senses can deceive us in so many ways. They're imperfect. So how can the imperfect senses understand the all-perfect personality of Godhead? It's not possible. That which is material cannot perceive that which is spiritual. Actually, in many ways, our senses are incapable of even understanding matter perfectly, what to speak of spirit. There's eight material elements: earth, air, fire, water, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These are the material elements. So out of these material elements, how many can you perceive with your senses? Earth, you can't see air. Fire, you can see fire. Water, you can see water. Ether, you can't see ether. Mind, can't see mind. Intelligence, you can't see intelligence. Or ego. So what's that? 3 out of 8. Our material senses can only perceive out of the world in which we are living, that which compromises this world in which we are living, the 8 material elements which combine to make material existence, which is very gross, compared to the spiritual existence, which is very subtle. We cannot even perceive the majority of the material elements with our senses. Now, how are we to perceive that which is spiritual? We can see earth, water, and fire. So we can only perceive 3 out of 8. And that is the inferior energy. Krishna describes the spiritual energy as his superior energy. So that one can say, yes, if I cannot see God with my material senses, then my mind is very powerful. We've seen that from the mind of great personalities, many wondrous inventions have come about. Things that would boggle the mind of an ordinary person. Like this computers, a computer chip. On a computer chip, you can put, you know, so much knowledge. Nowadays, they're becoming so refined. You can run whole businesses, thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, and stock and facts and figures. So it is amazing what they come out with, the mind. So you say, okay, senses are limited, but mind, you see what they are doing with mind. I will understand God with the power of my mind. But Vedic philosophy describes the mind as the sixth sense. It's like a sixth sense. And so therefore it is also imperfect. For example, we say to make mistakes is human. So has your mind ever made a mistake? Where did I leave my keys? Where are those keys? I can't remember. Right? Or, nice to meet you again. What's your name? The mind is also imperfect. You try to remember, what was that telephone number? Gosh, I had it in my mind just a couple, 263-405. Hello? Is Krishnadas there? You got the wrong number, buddy. This is not. Or we forget what time it is. One time in Detroit, Prabhupada said, if you forget what time it is. No, he said, if you forget the date, that means you're in Maya. Devotees should be aware of these practical things for the execution of their devotional service. So therefore, the Brahma Samhita concludes, Pantastu kota sata vatsara sambhagamyo vayor atapi manasho muni pungam vatam. That is, one who takes to the path, the pantas, the path, of trying to realize God with the manasha, with the mind, for kotishata means millions of vatsara years, the Lord will remain achintya-tattva, he'll remain inconceivable. Even if you could travel at the speed of the mind for many, many millions of years, still the mind is so imperfect, it's a material sense, you could not perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To think like that, just like they have that Greek statue, the thinker. Any philosophy students here? Yes, you've seen the thinker? He's thinking. So they're thinking, yes, by the power of his thinking, he's going to understand these things. But if you go to Greece today, he's still thinking. He's in Athens. You can go to that Pantheon, wherever he is. He still hasn't figured it out. And he was the most intelligent man in Greece at that time. So to try to understand God with the limited mind and senses is futile. Therefore, Vedanta Sutra says, Tarka Patisthanat. Transcendental subjects cannot be understood by material nature. Spirit can only be conceived of or understood by spirit. Therefore, if one wants to begin to understand God, then he must do what? He must awaken his spiritual senses. Padma Purana says, Atashi Krishna Namani, Nabhavet Grayam Indriya, Sevan Mukhi Jivado, Swayam Evasvadatiya. That no one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form of the Lord with his materially contaminated senses. Only when the senses are saturated with bhakti or with devotion can one understand the Lord as he is. So although we cannot perceive by material, we do have the ability within us to perceive God in a mature state of existence, a spiritual state of existence. Just like a little child. A little child, you know, at 3 or 4 years old, they're stupid. I mean, forgive me if you have any children that are 3 or 4 years old. But you ask a 3 or 4 year old child an intelligent question, they can't understand. But the ability to understand is dormant within their heart. It's dormant. Within that child is the dormant intelligence, which becomes manifest with age, with maturity. When you reach about, 14 or 15 or 16 like this, then the intelligence becomes fully manifest. You can't see it in the beginning. It doesn't seem that this child is acting like a fool. 3 or 4 year children do unintelligent things. But don't dismiss the fact that they are capable at a mature stage. It will manifest. So similarly, although with these material senses we cannot perceive that which is divyam or transcendental, at a mature stage we can, a mature spiritual stage. Nabhavet granyam indriya sevan mukahi jivado swayam eva spadatya. When the senses become saturated through, when they become spiritualized by engaging in spiritual activities, they become purified, the original senses become manifest. We all have spiritual senses because we are spirit souls. Sometimes we say, oh, we are not the body, but we are the spark of life within the body. We are the soul. And the audience is imagining that there's this little tiny, light in the heart and it's shining. The soul. Yes. Prabhupada said one time, the soul is more brilliant than 10,000 suns rising simultaneously. That's how brilliant the soul is. That's how brilliant you are. If you saw your real self, whoa, 10,000 suns. But we should understand, the complete understanding is that that soul is a person with a spiritual form. Satchidananda Vigraha. Just like Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So we have all the attributes of Krishna. But he is Param, the Supreme. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. But as he is Satchidananda Vigraha, his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and so is yours. But in a tiny way. You are also, your spiritual form is constituted of the elements, not of earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and ego, all those yucky things like that, right? But your spiritual form is made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the spiritual form. You are a person. And person means senses. You have eyes, you have ears, you have nose, you have tongue, you have taste. It's just that when we fall into the material world, they become covered. And we don't perceive that, we perceive through the material. like this light, you cover it with red or blue or yellow, then the light will manifest like that. So the soul manifests through the modes of material nature. We perceive it that someone is in the mode of ignorance, or someone is in the mode of passion, or someone is in the mode of goodness. But ultimately, everyone is pure spirit soul. So the whole process of devotional service is to cleanse the senses, purify the senses, by bringing them into contact with that which is spiritual. When you come in contact with that which is spiritual, spiritual being supreme overrides the material. That which is material cannot stay in the presence of that which is spiritual. It becomes transformed, like a touchstone. Actually, there is such a thing as a touchstone. It's not a story. Sanatana Goswami, he had a touchstone. We sometimes refer to it as a philosopher's stone. It's a stone, and you can touch it. Gold! 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 By contact, anything that comes in contact with it turns to gold. So the perfection of that principle is that that which is material, when it comes in contact with that which is spiritual, Brahman. So our material senses, which are, they're becoming purified, spiritualized every day, because what are we doing? Shravanam kirtanam vishnu shmaranam padasevanam archanam bandham dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. We're all the time engaged in spiritual activities. When we want to speak, we say something of Krishna. We don't speak some gramya kata. You know what gramya kata is? Gram means village in Bengal. And kata means talk. So gramya kata. Oh, did you hear what he did? Oh no, did you know who she's marrying? Did you hear the scandal? Did you know the politics? This is gramya kata. Devotee's tongue is always decorated with Krishna kata. And if there's no Krishna kata, nothing, just then, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And the tongue also desires to eat palatable foodstuffs. The tongue likes to taste things. So instead of being attracted to some mundane things, which put us more in the bodily concept, we have nice tasty prasad. We enjoy that prasadam to your full satisfaction. Don't worry. Eat as much prasadam as you like. The eyes want to see something beautiful. It's natural. Why? Because originally we were seeing the most beautiful. So we have that taste to look at beautiful things. We used to look at Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Eyes. So the eyes desire something beautiful. So we're seeing so many things. But rather than seeing the mundane form of a woman or the mundane form of a man, we should train our eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord. At first you have to try. Go back and forth. But eventually you'll see, Krishna, he's so beautiful. His Satchitananda Vigraha is much more attractive than that form made of earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and ego. We want to hear something nice, so we hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And like this, by being constantly in touch with Krishna and his varieties of forms. Krishna is so kind. He comes in so many ways to attract us. Each of those forms is absolute. That's the beauty of living in a temple or making your home a temple. Your senses are always saturated with Krishna consciousness. From the morning you get up, from the morning when you get up to the evening when you take rest, by Prabhupada's plan of Krishna consciousness, this plan has been worked out by Śrīla Prabhupāda and the previous acharyas, your senses are constantly engaged in spiritual activities. Constantly. So eventually what happens is the senses become purified, and one day, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Govinda. As Prabhupada said, when he was installing the deity, Rukmini Dwarkadish in London, the little Chota, Radha Krishna. He said, if you see this deity as brass, he'll remain brass to you forever. But if you serve this deity with love and devotion, according to the rules and the regulations that are given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, then one day this deity will speak to you. O Prabhu, Hare Krishna. As possible. That is what we have to look forward to in Krishna consciousness. So by constantly emerging the senses, they become purified, and then we can see. I like to tell the story how Prabhupada was in Vrindavan one time, and he was describing the beauty of Vrindavan. He said, Vrindavan is such a nice place. He said the cuckoo birds, they sing in 5 different tunes there. And Vrindavan, there's so many peacocks and parrots, beautiful birds and swans. And there's Giriraj, there's Govardhan Hill. And on Govardhan Hill, there's nice fresh grasses for the cows, the Sarabi cows, who give unlimited quantity. He said, Vrindavan is such a nice place. He said, the cuckoo birds, they sing in 5 different tunes there. And Vrindavan, there's so many peacocks and parrots, beautiful birds and swans. And there's Giriraj, there's Govardhan Hill. And on Govardhan Hill, there's nice fresh grasses for the cows, the Sarabi cows, who give unlimited quantities of milk. And there Krishna's sporting with the cowherd boys, Subal, etc., and also dancing with the gopis, with Radha and Lalita, Vishakha. And there's Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. She's churning milk for Krishna. And she's working so hard for Krishna, the beads of perspiration are coming to her. And she's calling, now, Krishna, come home, take your prasad. The devotees were listening as Prabhupada was describing this beautiful scene of Vrindavan. And afterwards, Prabhupada said, are there any questions? So one Prabhu, he raised his hand, he said, Prabhupada, you're describing Vrindavan as such a wonderful place, but we are sitting here in Vrindavan, when I look around now I see the rickshaw wallas, and I see the limka stands, and I see the dirt, and I see the pigs, and I see, you know, the people with diseases, and the dust, and the bam, 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 okay, ta-ta, bam, 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 all the trucks going. I don't see it like you see it. What's wrong? So Prabhupada said, there's something in your eye. There's a speck in your eye. And when that speck is removed, you can see Vrindavan as it is. So the devotee went, Prabhupada, I still see the pigs. I don't see the gopis. So Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said that speck, what is that speck? That is your desire for sense gratification. Right? Your desire for sense gratification. When that desire, those material desires are removed, then just like a cataract is removed from the eye. Sometimes when you're old, right, you get this slight film and it becomes a crust on the eye. It's yucky. But your eye's good. But there's this little roughness on the eye, on that pupil there. And you just remove that, and then, oh, Krishna, you can see very nicely again. So old people, they have this cataract operation. Nowadays, it's not very difficult. Doctors just go, even without putting you to sleep, they put some local and say, shh. Oh, thank you, doctor. So that instrument they use to remove the cataract is called shalakaya in Sanskrit. It's called shalakaya. It's a little thing, you just take it away. So what is the instrument which the spiritual master uses to remove that speck of material desire from our eyes? Oma gyan timanandasya ginangena shalakaya chakshuru militam jenatas maya shigurave nama. Shalakaya. That's where we find that word. With what? He who has opened my eyes with what? A medical instrument? A piece of steel? No, he who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. By knowledge, we can remove that cataract of material desire. And we can see things as they are. So we can remove that spiritual, that material desire by hearing from our spiritual master. When we hear from our spiritual master, then everything becomes very clear. Otherwise, we're in confusion. When the spiritual master speaks and we go, now I understand. Right? I was trying to read, or I was trying to serve, or I was just trying. But then when I heard my spiritual master speak, now I've got it. We see through the eyes of his knowledge. That removes that cataract. And then you can see things as they are. So Prabhupada said that has to be removed. So that is a gradual process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnushmaranam. Regularly hearing, by regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, and by rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. How potent is this process of hearing? It is so potent. Therefore, when Prabhupada was presented as Abhai Charan to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati by the Gaudiya Math, that this is one candidate for initiation, Prabhupada said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, yes, I'll accept him. Accept him so quickly? Yes, because he hears well. Because he hears well, I'll accept him. Because one who hears well will eventually speak well and be able to serve his Guru Maharaj. So when, then after the operation, right, you have this shlakaya. And then Dr. Gushu, I had an eye operation. I was riding my bicycle down the street. And I went past, there was a lawnmower. And they were mowing the lawn. And a rock came out, hit me in the eye. Oh, mama. So my mother took me. And they did a little operation. And it was painful. So then doctor said, here, you put this this balm, this like ointment. You put that on your eye and then everything will be okay. So I put on my eye. So, we have the operation, Shilakaya, the spiritual master, cuts out the doubts. He cuts out the material desires by his mercy. And then he applies the balm of love of God. Premanjani Charati Bhakti Valochanena. When the eyes are covered with the salve of love of Godhead, you can see Krishna as he is. So the duty of the spiritual master is twofold. Number one, he must convince us about the real nature of material existence as illusion. And number two, he must reveal to us the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. That is his business, the guru. First, he must convince us of the real nature of material life. Because most people, they think, oh, material world is real and spiritual world is illusion. Right? But actually, the material world is an illusion and the spiritual world is the truth. So the guru, first he has to, just like we see in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, he didn't just go, wow, here I am, Krishna, Govinda. You know, Arjuna had so many doubts, so many desires, so many chapters, you're not this body, you're not that family, you're not that country, control your senses, give up sinful activity, da da da. And then finally, when all that cleansing is done, then Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So you study Prabhupada's purports, you'll see 50% of his purports are about the material world. And 50% of his purports are about the spiritual world. We have to understand both very clearly. So when the doubts are removed, then we can understand the spiritual subject matter. So that's speck. Has to be. And then we can begin to see what is spiritual. Otherwise, it's not to purify the material senses. And then as the spiritual senses awaken, then you can begin to perceive that which is spiritual. But actually, just purifying our senses in itself is not sufficient for understanding God. It's not that you can just purify the senses and then you can see God. It's not that easy. Because there's many souls, great souls, transcendentalists, who've purified themselves to the point of being able to perceive spirit, but they can't see Krishna. Right? They can purify their senses by penance, by austerity, by yoga, by jnana. They take to the path of jnana, they study. They become pure, become freed of doubts, the senses become. Or they practice great tapas, or jog, and then they become purified. But that doesn't. They can see spirit, but they don't necessarily see Krishna. An example are impersonalists. Although we often deride the impersonalists, you know, for their incomplete understanding, Paramatma, Brahman, Bhagavan, they're just concentrating on one feature. They actually can see Brahman. They purified their senses to see Brahman. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was visiting Benares, then he went to deliver the Mayavadis. Prakashananda Saraswati in the Mayavadis. So he came in the mood of a humble devotee, because Mahaprabhu was coming in the mood of a devotee to teach us how to realize Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, very humbly, when he came to sit with all those elevated Mayavadi sannyasis, he sat with the chapalas. Chapalas means the slippers, the shoes. He sat there. And then when they looked over, they saw the Brahman effulgence, the Mayavadis. Wow, what's that? The Brahman. We see the Brahman. But they didn't at first understand that Brahman was actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's two times you can't see properly, when things are too dark and when things are too bright. Things are too dark, you can't see, and when things are too bright, you can't see. So Mahaprabhu, he's the source of the Brahman. Krishna, the Brahman, is the effulgence of the Lord. So all they were purified to the point where they could understand, here is Brahman, but they couldn't understand that this is God. Later, Mahaprabhu preached to them and they understood. So understanding Krishna, the personality of Godhead, means more than just purifying your senses. You can't just purify your senses and then become a God-realized soul. It's something more than that. Yes, that is the beginning. You have to engage your senses in devotional service. But what actually is required is Krishna's mercy. Bhaktimam avijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Tatamam tatvatojan va vishite tadanantara. One can understand me as I am, as Krishna, as the personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, then he can enter into the kingdom of God. It's not a mechanical Krishna consciousness. Understanding God ultimately depends upon his mercy. The acharyas give an example of how important is Krishna's mercy to really being able to understand him. They give the example of Mother Yasoda is trying to bind baby Krishna. You know that story, Damodar, where she's chasing after Krishna. Krishna was naughty. He was stealing the yogurt and giving it to the monkeys. So Mother Yasoda, she saw, you little rascal Krishna, you're gonna get it for this. So she ran after Krishna. Krishna, whom the great jnanis and yogis cannot achieve after millions of lifetimes. She was running and she caught him. Krishna. She took him by the ear, you little Krishna. Krishna was crying. They weren't fake tears, they were real tears. The emotions that are in the spiritual world are real. So she grabbed him and she said, I'm going to tie you up now so you don't do any more nonsense. So she took a rope, a long rope, 2 inches short. Krishna. She got more rope, she tied it. What? 2 inches short. Then she took more rope, and all the rope she could find in her house, all the rope she could find in the neighborhood, all the rope she could find in the village, she tied. It was always 2 inches short. So Krishna looked out the corner of his eye and said, okay, Mata. And all of a sudden, she was able to tie it. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes what actually was the deciding factor that she could tie. One was her endeavor, and the other was Krishna's mercy. Two things were required for her to capture Krishna. Her own effort, that was 1 inch, and the second inch was made up But Krishna is agreeing to be captured by his devotee, agreeing to reveal himself to his devotee. So that is the essential ingredient in realizing God, is his kindness, his mercy. So to the degree that we are devoted to God and serving God, then he will reveal himself to us. All of them, as they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reveal myself accordingly. So if you're Atmanivedanam, you're a fully surrendered soul, then you will have that Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Darshan. But if you're only 25% surrendered, you'll only see Krishna for a little bit. Just like Narada Muni. Narada Muni, when he left home, when his mother died, and he took sannyas, he went to find Krishna. He went to the forest, and he performed meditation and austerities for a long time, like Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni was there in the forest. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayan appeared. Yes. Oh, Vasudeva. Yes, I have appeared. So he had that vision. And all of a sudden that vision started to disappear. Krishna, Krishna, where are you going? Krishna, wait, Krishna, Krishna. Gone. And he heard a voice in the sky. I have appeared before you just to give you an impetus to achieve me eternally. For I do not stay before those who are incomplete in devotion. So Narada Muni, he had advanced to a certain stage where he could see Krishna, but not all the time. Because he didn't have that devotion. His devotion wasn't that mature where he could be with Krishna all the time. So Krishna said, I've just appeared, I've given you a little taste, so you'll keep going. Just like sometimes in Krishna consciousness, right? We're going, and then there's a special kirtan. And it's just out of this world, and we think, wow, that's it. Like Mahaprabhu says, this sankirtan movement gives us a taste for which we're always hankering. So sometimes, you know, you come and there's that Sunday feast, and wow, that feast, I remember the feast, it was November 3rd, 1970, Detroit, Michigan. Boy, was that a good feast. Narottamananda, he cooked this feast, the sweet and sour sabji, there was curd, and there was pineapple, and peas, and spinach. It was so good. And I remember a kirtan about 10 years ago we had at New Mayapur, France, by Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj. Have any of you ever met Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj? When he leads kirtan, Krishna. And I remember another couple kirtans we had with Sri Prahlad. So these type of experiences, they're like, you know, they keep you going. Oh, this is Krishna consciousness. This is the taste I'm always hankering for. So sometimes we get that impetus in our service. It keeps us going to the next. Of course, if you're fully Krishna conscious, every moment's like that in devotional service. So for Narada Muni, the Lord appeared. He said, but I cannot stay before one who is not complete in his devotion. So he didn't get to have that constant association with the Lord. He had to become purified. And he came to the stage where he's completely purified. Now he can see Krishna anytime he wants. If he just wants a little association, he goes to Vaikuntha. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari. Now I'm going back to do some preaching. You can go back and forth like that. So we would like, as aspiring devotees, we would like to imagine ourselves as being in such a position as Narada Muni or Draupadi or Hanuman. They always have the association. They can see Krishna at every moment. But to have that, you have to have the bhakti, the devotion of those devotees. It's like Hanuman. He's so dedicated to Lord Ramachandra. He has so much bhav, so much devotion for Ramachandra. He has the proper service mentality. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavicham vajagadishakamai mama janmani janmani ishwara bhavatad bhakti. What is that mentality? What is that pure devotee pray? Oh my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, Neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women. Neither do I want a number of followers. All that I want is I might have your constant service, birth after birth after birth. That's all a devotee really wants. He just wants, he doesn't want anything, he just wants Krishna, so he gets Krishna. If that's all you want, then you'll have that. And if you want something else, you won't have Krishna all the time. That's all that Hanuman really wants. After the big battle for rescuing Sita and, you know, killing Ravana and destroying his hordes of rakshasas and demons, you know how much Hanuman fought for Ram. He fought so hard. So usually after a battle, a soldier, he expects, you know, some recognition. Like you see the soldiers, they sometimes wear their medals like this. Or some pay, a mercenary soldier. Give me my money now. He risked his life, Hanuman. He fought for Ram. He killed so many demons. So then Ram said, Hanuman, you are such a surrendered bhakta. You are so dear to me. What can I give you? Oh, Hanuman, he could have asked for anything. He said, Ram, just give me a little hug. That's all Hanuman wanted. I don't want much, just give me a little hug. So you see that picture? You see the picture where Ram is and Hanuman? He's like, very happy. So we get to this point where everything for Krishna, I don't desire, na dhanam na janam na sundarim. All that I want is I might have your service, birth after birth. When that is our only desire, to serve Krishna, then Krishna will reward us with that service eternally. We can always be in his constant association. We have to qualify ourselves to be like Draupadi and Hanuman and the Pandavas. They were always with Krishna. If we come to that point, then Krishna will reveal everything to us. So that is our stage. Now we're beginners. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya Natrini Viti Siyat Nishta Ruchi Bhav Prem. Oh, I'm pretty far away. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya. The first step is that our faith in Krishna is awoken by associating with devotees. And then Bhajana Kriya, we start taking up the regulative principles of devotional service, and then, you know, anartha nivriti, all the unwanted things, and then comes a little bit of steadiness, and then some taste, and then some attachment, and then some, well, where am I? So far away. But Confucius, he said, the longest journey begins with the first step. So at least, after millions of years of running in the wrong direction, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're now on the right path. So slow but steady. We shouldn't be discouraged. And Krishna is reciprocating with us in so many ways, because this path of devotional service is so nice. We don't have to wait to the end to get the result. Krishna is encouraging us even in the beginning. Just see, what little service have we done for Krishna? If you think about it. Some of you have been devotees 1 year, 2 years. How much service have you actually done? You've done millions of years of nonsense, and now, well, you know, you wash the pots, you clean the floor, you help cut the sabji, you helped with the temple administration, you donated a sari, I don't know. And what has Krishna given? He's given Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He's given Prabhupada, captain of the ship, to take us over the ocean of material existence. He's given us assembly of Vaishnavas. He's given us deities. He's given us Bhagavad Gita. He's given you Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He's given you Gulab Jamun. Sweet rice, kichori, samosa, sabji, chapati, Krishna conscious ice cream, halva, You're drooling. For a little effort, Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, he comes running towards you. Takes 1,000 steps towards you. So this process is so nice. At any stage of devotional service is relishable. It's perfect, more perfect, and it gets most perfect. It's like a sweet ball. A sweet ball. You bite anywhere. You bite this side, you bite that side, you bite this side, that side. It's all sweet. So whatever, however you practice Krishna consciousness, whatever stage you're at in Krishna consciousness, it's perfect. It can only become more perfect, and it can, then it becomes most perfect. So we don't have to be like jnanis or yogis. You know, they're waiting, 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 hundreds of thousands of years, you know. You know. The minute you walk in this temple, Rupa Goswami says, you get the first result of pure devotional service is you become free from material anxiety. As long as you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. As long as you're situated in Krishna consciousness, then you'll be happy. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu shmaranam parasevanam marchanam bandam dasyam. So we have a great future to look forward to in devotional service. We're just beginners. It's so nice now, right? I asked how many of you are happy. You all raised your hands. Yes. Just confirming. So just imagine how it will be in the future. The more we can give up this material desires, purifying, 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 the more we can surrender to devotional service, the future is very bright in devotional service. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada, ki.
Jai.
Shishi Gaur Nitai, ki.
Jai.
Itai Gaur Pimanandi.
Hey.
Now I have another question for you. How many of you are coming on the Harinam Sankirtan tomorrow? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you can't come because you have to go to school? Okay, well, think of you. And by thinking of you, you'll be there and you can also get the benefit. Okay? And how many of you are coming to the program tomorrow night? How many can't come? Oh, you should come to this program. Ooh, it's going to be, this program is going to be. Sri Prahlad is just resting for the kirtan tomorrow. And then we have a program in Zagreb the next day. How many of you will come for the program in Zagreb? Jai. How many will come for class tomorrow morning? Okay. Pretty enthusiastic here. That's good. All right. So would you like to ask any questions? Or is it too late now? Who thinks it's too late? Raise your hand. Okay, I'll take a few questions and then we'll have kirtan. Yes.
How it is that when we and Krishna sometimes arrange that we're in trouble and then we very intensely think about Krishna and help, praying, help me, Krishna, help me. And then after Krishna makes all arrangements to help us, 1 minute after we just forget everything about Krishna. I have experience that I just forget. Then I wonder how it is. Before I was just intensely thinking that Krishna helped me. And after Krishna makes all arrangements and helps, then 1 minute after, just forget. Don't remember who saved me actually. How is it so?
After a few times, you'll remember. Prabhupada said there's a Bengali proverb. I don't know the Bengali, but that's a certain state of consciousness which one goes to the crematorium for the funeral, and while there he's thinking, whoa, this can happen to any of us, so now I should be very serious about Krishna consciousness. But then a few days later, one is back to one's old habits. So it's a particular type of mentality. But as one has that experience again and again, and you will have that experience, because this is the material world, and it's padam padam yatvi padam natesham. And gradually, through those experiences, we become more serious. Just like they have in medical experiments, they have like with the rat or the mouse, that if he puts his nose on the red button, he gets a shock. And if he puts his nose on the green button, he gets a little piece of food. So it takes him a while to learn. Then he hesitates. So by experience. But better than experience is to accept by hearing. Prabhupada said that's the first class way. We can learn things. He gives the example of three different people. Someone tells a group of men, if you steal, then the police will catch you and you'll go to jail and you'll be punished. So don't steal. So the first man, he goes out and he didn't really hear very well. He steals, he goes to prison, he gets punished. He gets out. He steals, he goes to prison, he gets punished, he gets out. He steals, he goes to prison, he gets punished. He never learns. The second class man, he steals, he goes to prison, he gets punished, he gets out, he doesn't steal again. The first class person, he hears from his authority, don't steal, because if you do, you'll go to jail, you'll get punished. So he says, okay, I won't do it. That's the first class. So you're being second class. That's better than third class. So don't cry. You're hearing, or you're experiencing, but then again, the tendency comes again. So we have to use our intelligence. That's what it means to use the intelligence. Intelligence means to accept upon hearing that, you know, if I maintain in this material world, then I'll have to suffer. So you're having some experience and you're remembering Krishna, but then you're forgetting. So with your intelligence, always try to remember and learn the lesson. Prabhupada said, it's all right to make a mistake once, but don't make it twice. Right? So you have a difficult experience and then you're forced to remember Krishna, but then the tendency is again. So then act with your intelligence. Know yourself, that you're like that. And remember Krishna all the time, in happiness and distress. Another question? Yes? You should have no doubts in Krishna consciousness. But you should have lots of, hundreds and millions of doubts, unlimited doubts in material life. Right? Because material life is always cheating us. It's promising something, but it never comes up with the goods. So we can doubt. There's room for doubt in Krishna consciousness, inasmuch as we doubt material life. But we shouldn't have any doubts about spiritual life. Even though we may not be able to understand with our intelligence, still we should have faith in Guru and Krishna. If Prabhupada says Lord Brahma has four heads, and you try to figure out how one here, how do you put the bone there, and how does it connect to the spine? Four heads, and you know, those things you can't understand with now, but you will understand eventually. Krishna, 16,108 wives? How did he do it? Prabhupada said, if you can just maintain one wife in Kali Yuga and make her happy, you're a Mahatma. So how did Krishna do 16,000? So those things that, you know, that will be revealed to you in due course of time. But don't have any doubts. That's, faith means, although I can't understand, I still accept because my spiritual master says so. Another question?
Bog sve posjeduje, a neki ljudi su izjavili da oni ne žele ništa posjedovati.
God is possessing all, but some of the people said that they don't want to possess anything.
That's a question or a statement?
Pa pitanje.
No.
Neki ljudi su to izjavili.
A šta
mi
ćete?
Da on zato ne prihvaća Boga. Zato što on ne želi ništa posjeda, da Bog posjeduje sve.
He do not accept God because God have everything and he don't want to have anything.
You don't accept God. People say like that, not you. People say. They're envious because God has everything and they don't have anything. Well, Krishna is sharing with us. Nitya nitya nam chaitanas chaitana nam eko bahanam yovaridati kamam. That out of all the eternals, there is one who is fulfilling the desires of everyone. So Krishna, he will give his devotee what he needs, but not according. He'll give according to need, but not according to greed. He doesn't want to give his devotee something that would cause him to fall down. So we should be satisfied with whatever we have. We should feel confident that Krishna knows what we need. Yogakshemam bahamyaham. I protect what they have and I provide what they lack. He'll provide for his devotee. But he knows exactly what each devotee needs and what would be too much, so he restricts. He doesn't give us according to our greed. So that way every devotee should be happy with whatever he has, knowing that that's what Krishna has given. And when we're ready for more, Krishna feels that we're capable of utilizing that properly, then he can give more. Just like we see with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was poverty-stricken in India when he was trying to start his movement. He was, you know, living in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple, he had practically nothing. But then later on, when Prabhupada went to America, he had so many temples, millions of dollars, etc. So Krishna can give at any moment when it's necessary for devotional service. When he sees his devotee will use it properly, he can give the whole world necessary. So we'll finish on that happy note. We'll have a short kirtan. And then we'll look forward to seeing everyone again tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Gorni Thai ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.